I am going to call the Equitable Housing Strategies Subcommittee meeting to order. I will do roll call, Lori Meserbo,
Present.
Kenny Wong,
I'm here.
Ray Winch,
Present.
Jay Young, I'm here. And then I think the only person, if I'm not mistaken, Vicky Cusino, I think, is absent. Vicky, you're not here, are you? And I just can't see you. Okay. Great. So we have quorum. And with that, I will read our little statement. The Equitable Housing Strategies Subcommittee meeting has now commenced. It is May 23rd at 1 p.m. This meeting is being held virtually. For those who are participating remotely, we ask that you mute yourselves until called upon to speak to avoid feedback and background noise. For those who have dialed in using the call-in number, to unmute to speak, dial star six on your phone, and that you only use the chat function to request to speak. Prior to speaking, please announce who you are to identify yourself. As a reminder, this meeting is being recorded. Also, to comply with state open meeting law, attendance and votes will be done by way of roll call using audio. And with that, let's see, is that okay? Number three, City of Tucson Office of Equity update. I don't see anybody from the Office of Equity. I did email Larice Walker, the head of the Office of Equity, and a couple weeks ago, just kind of re-inviting her and her team to our subcommittee meeting, and I got an email back from her today, actually, saying that she thought she had actually responded to me and was waiting for me to get back to her. So a little miscommunication there, but she did want to meet with me to kind of discuss what to do going forward. So hope to have something on the calendar with her, and get them re-involved, because obviously I think a lot of the things we're talking about, they're doing over there, and we really need to make a stronger connection, if at all possible. So that's number three. Agenda item number four, City of Tucson HCD update. HCD update. Go ahead.
Hi everyone, Lena Perel. For updates on terms of community engagement, I think since we last met, we had a few PCHIP kickoffs. We have our last PCHIP kickoff tonight, actually, at Donna Liggins at 5:30. And that at the end of this month, our survey will also close, and that will kind of conclude our phase one outreach for PCHIP. Phase two will be starting in June, where we'll be doing a number of different focus groups. We are just in the process of scheduling those focus groups right now, but they'll be mostly towards the end of June on a variety of the topics that have kind of come out of this initial outreach. And so we'll make sure that everyone in the commission and that the subcommittee have the invites for the focus groups and go to the one that they either you can go to multiple or which one ever fits kind of the topic you want to kind of go deeper on. So that's one thing. I think we also had our South 10th neighborhood meeting back on May 9th. Rachel, I don't know if you want to provide more of an update on that one.
Sure. Happy to provide an update. HCD staff, so Anne, Janeka, Allison Miller, and Sarah Megason provided a very broad overview of like our house plan and how it aligns with the South 10th project, further creating housing on that site. And then after we gave presentations during the meeting, we opened up the courtyard to have people come out and write down any concerns that they may have on like boards and provided more information out in the courtyard just on broader housing topics or types of housing. And am I missing anything, Lena? We provided PCHIP information there too. We provided information on Norte Sur. And yeah, I think that's everything that was gone over at that meeting.
And I think the only other update is that HCD is applying for the Choice Neighborhoods Planning Grant for the 29th Street Thrive area, and we'll be submitting that grant application on June 10th. So coming up pretty fast, but I think that's all we have kind of for HCD updates.
I was wanting to ask Rachel, for the meeting about the South 10th project, what was kind of the, or some of the things that y'all heard in terms of, you know, positive stuff or, you know, concerns, or what was the general tenor and vibe of the meeting?
I would say some of the concerns regarding the meeting were just overall like bringing traffic to the area. I provided the project link in the chat, so it provides like a brief overview of the project. So there could be potentially 300 to 400 units. So I think the common concern with residents in the area is just the environmental quality of the site. Yeah, bringing that many people into the area, like what does like transportation look like if people are bringing all their cars and things into the area. And yeah, we've been getting mixed feedback from neighbors on the site. Some people are feel very positive about the project, but other people, yeah, have their concerns.
Yeah. Any questions for HCD before we move on? All right, where did my agenda go? Hold on a sec.
I guess I'm curious for the environmental concerns. You know, what because the site has a history, just I guess what was shared with residents for remediation or you know, what mitigation might be happening for the project?
Sure. During the presentation, Sarah Megason explained to residents that as a part of our due process as the developer on that site, that every 6 months we have to get an environmental quality report or some environmental summaries or site assessments. And those are provided on the website as well if you scroll down. So we provide an environmental summary, existing site conditions, environmental assessment, and a limited site investigation. But yeah, I think yeah, residents were just concerned with the former transfer station being on that site.
Yeah, and I'll add that I think something that Sarah Megason also mentioned was that from the reports that we've done so far, there hasn't been any conclusions of anything environmentally wrong with the site, but that we will still be doing those environmental testing since they expire every 6 months. So we'll be continuing to do that. And if there are more environmental testings we have to do in the future, that we would continue to do so.
That site was just, has only been like a transfer station. Is that correct? Where like trucks and cans and stuff have been, has it ever been a site where there's been anything more toxic or, you know, environmentally harmful that there?
No, from what I think Sarah mentioned during the presentation, that it was only a transfer station kind of moving goods on top of the ground. There was nothing, anything going into the ground, like a landfill or any toxic substances going into the soil.
And would this be the first project that the El Pueblo Housing Development Corporation or whatever for the city has, would this be that the first project?
El Pueblo's first project would be Milagro and Oracle. This would be the second.
Got it.
Project.
Ray, did you have a question? I thought I saw your hand going up.
Yeah, I had a question about eligibility for being in that housing. Is there any preference for people who've been displaced from that neighborhood or people who have historical connection to that, or is it solely income based and open to anyone?
I think from what I know is that we're too early in the process to know for exactly sure of who the housing will be for. I know that we've talked about having it being in a range for different incomes, but it has also been brought up kind of like legacy, like if people who are from the neighborhood might get priority, but that's still, I think, in discussion because we're at the very beginning of what this project could be.
I can also add too, on the website, we do have the presentation in the PDF in there as well. So if you guys wanted to look through that, and then we do have a South 10th feedback form too at the very top of the site and an email sign up. So if somebody wanted to put in their email and get project updates, they have the ability to do that through us.
Cool. Anything else, guys, before we move on to the next agenda item?
Oh, just thanks for reviewing the information. It took me a minute to scroll down. I think it's great that it's all shared and public as the project continues. And I liked where Ray was going with that. The question of, okay, is there something that can be looked at as we continue, as the project continues towards thinking about who's eligible or who's reached out to be tenants.
Thanks, Kenny. Anything else, y'all? Okay. Number five, discussion of the proposed change to the CEHD mission statement. I have to confess, I am not exactly prepared to address this one. I know that Ernesto added this to our agenda, but Rachel or Alina, do y'all remember what we're supposed to be doing with this, or does anybody else?
I don't.
It was the reparations language.
Oh.
I can try to find that in the shared doc right now.
Yeah.
Oh, like the shared doc that we were working on that had the, I don't know. Does anybody have access to that right now? Has anybody found that? I don't know where I might have that. Oh.
Did you, it Kenny? May be an earlier version.
Okay. So it looks like that's what? Page 1, 2, 3.
Page 5,
yeah, mission and goals.
I think the discussion started with 2 and ended with, well, started with 1 and ended with 2.
Right. Well, so, I mean, I guess maybe one place we could just start is, I know that obviously, you know, at the last full commission meeting, when particularly the suggestion to, for number 2, specify the harm the city of Tucson has inflicted and advocate for efforts to repair harm. You know, there was some discussion about that and I think a little bit of pushback about that kind of language. So, I don't know, maybe we want to, oh, cool, you got it. Is this the one you put in the chat, Ray? Is it even more updated?
I think so. I'm just trying to compare them right now, but I think this is the one we are working off at the May CHD meeting.
Okay, good. Got it. So what are y'all's thoughts about, that adding that language, that kind of language, and kind of, you know, how to move that forward or, where we want to go with that? I'm not exactly sure, you know, where to start this discussion, but, I guess maybe that's at least one place to start. I mean, I'll just say I do think that, after Ray brought that up in the meeting and thinking about it a little bit more and talking about it with some folks, I do think that, the idea of identifying and repairing past harm is important because those are some of the main reasons that there are inequities in our community. And I think, there are some examples of where, Ray, I think obviously you brought up the convention center. That's, an example that everybody, I think most folks know about, the destruction and the harm that that caused and the, I would say still open wound, for this community. Another place that I saw it come up over the past, 10 years or so, was the 22nd Street Widening Project, which is one of the projects in the RTA that, basically has not been completed. And one of the things that happened is when the public meetings started, there was a ton of pushback, and people in the area really were kind of like with the 10th Avenue site. Really demanding more information about the environmental impacts and concerns about widening the road and the impacts that would have. And I think the reason I bring that up is because I think that the distrust, there was a lot of distrust that people had because of past harms and the fact that those past harms hadn't been fully acknowledged and repaired, I think really hindered the ability of that project to come to fruition. And it's still not been completed after, what, 90 something percent of the other RTA projects have been complete. So I do think it's an important piece of the puzzle. But I also think that it ruffles feathers. I think it's painful in many ways for both people that have been harmed and even people that, haven't been harmed to talk about some of these things. So I do think it's delicate, but I think it is important. So that's just kind of my two cents at this point. I don't know what, Lori, I see you come off mute. What's up?
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't know that this was an issue, but it occurred to me based on the folks that were against using the stronger language. There are folks in that room on the commission who get funding from the city of Tucson and who have relationships with the city of Tucson, and I couldn't help but wonder if maybe there is some possible bias there about using language. And I definitely don't think we should let that stop us from saying what needs to be said. I just know, not so much where I am now, even though we do get funding, a little bit of funding from the city, but I know that when I was at a different agency in town that was heavily city funded, it was walking a fine line between kind of what you felt comfortable saying because they're also a funder. And I just would hate to see that stop us from putting the language in there because I think the root of why the commission exists is exactly things like this, right? That there has been harm done and that there does need to be repair.
Thanks, Lori. Other thoughts? Go ahead, Ray.
I think the language we use on it will be really important. I absolutely want to have something like this in there if we can. I think that harm is, as you said, Jay, like that's a huge reason why there is such inequality today. And I think pretending that it didn't happen and pretending that it doesn't continue to happen, like, doesn't help us. It doesn't help people trust the city more. And I think sometimes the what people's idea of what it is sometimes so different. So like having a little bit like using language that doesn't necessarily bring that whole map of assumptions onto someone, if that makes sense. Like being really clear about what we're trying to do, but maybe not using terms that might have like big associations with it that get away from the picture of what we're actually saying. I think that might have been coming up some a little bit in the last meeting, of yeah, hearing that first and like the knee-jerk response rather than like really listening to what we're actually talking about and just having such different ideas of what that could look like.
Maybe it's the language approach. So, and language, I think it's so incredibly important. And I don't know that we're trying to protect. We're acknowledging, we're taking into account. We want to ensure that any recommendations that are made to mayor and city council take into account past, current, and potential future inequitable solutions, or I think more like maybe if we do that, recognizing past discrimination within particular barrios and communities, we will. We are the lens, right? We're the equity lens. We need to ensure that anything that's recommended out of the full commission has been vetted and is one in which we carry the responsibility of accounting for past discrimination and ensure moving forward that we acknowledge that one. So, like, that means investment, right? If investment is here or there. What does that investment look like? Is it accounting for what's been done in the past, plus accounting for current inequities and potential future inequities that could just be exacerbated by a new project? So I think maybe if we couch it in ensuring that the recommendations that come out of the commission account for blah, 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 blah. And have been vetted through a lens, acknowledging whatever, whatever, whatever. But it's really, I mean, really the only, because we're an advisory commission, really our weight is in what we recommend or don't recommend, right? Our silence and our advocacy. And I really just think that we're the gatekeepers on ensuring that vetting, ensuring that anything has gone through that equity lens.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. And what y'all are saying, some things that it brings up for me is that, I think somebody brought up in the full commission meeting that, it was kind of a backward looking thing, and that we should be future focused. And I get that, but at the same time, I think the why it's important to recognize what has happened in the past is that. It, like you're saying, Tisha, it's like the things that we do in the future, it sets the stage that says we do need to be aware, because in the past the harms have happened and they may again happen in the future if we're not intentional or servicing these things. So I do think it is actually, while I understand the idea of it kind of be looking backwards, I think it really is setting the stage for the future. I also thought that, the comments from Jason Thorpe about, he was kind of put on the spot to speak for the city, but, he was kind of like, this is where our heads are at too. It's not going to hurt our feelings at all. And, we're kind of happy to move in this direction as well. So it seemed like, if we're able to set the stage, that at least the current city staff would be amenable to it. And then I think the last thing I'll say is I think that it also, again, just kind of from what y'all are saying, I think it really does set the table for what we've been talking about for a long time. And I think part of what we'll get into today, which is, measuring equity, right? It's like, the reason to measure equity is because there have been these past harms, and the measuring equity gives us a tool to see if the things that are going to happen in the future and do happen in the future, are improving or worsening equity. So I do think that it ties together this measuring equity piece that, you know, we've been talking about for quite a long time. So any more thoughts? I'm happy to keep this conversation going, but I also want to just ask if we want to do any wordsmithing today. I don't exactly know what we need to go ahead, Tisha.
Yeah, I think the more and more we kind of think through this and talk through this, I think maybe an acknowledgement statement, right? An acknowledgement statement, and then what we will take into account before recommendations are made.
What does that, what does that sound like?
So it sounds like in recognizing that various communities, and we can list it out, you know, what communities have been impacted by past economic development initiatives. We know that it includes La Calle. We know that it includes 80 acres of primarily Hispanic families, Black families, Chinese families. You know, just that acknowledgement that there was a displacement and a disinvestment. And then given this historical background that we acknowledge, any recommendation that's made to mayor and city council, the following will be considered. And then it's like, you know, will it cause rapid change displacement of historically displaced communities that we've listed, right? Will it address a past harm? You know, and so maybe it's flipping it. Maybe it's not repairing. Maybe it's acknowledging and will it exacerbate something that had already transpired, you know, layer on inequity, or will it account for and repair past harm? So it's not, I think people may have interpreted this as a litmus test and a calling out, or I think it's an acknowledgement, right? It's like we can't create equitable solutions or targeted universal solutions without knowing where we come from and how we've gotten to this point.
I love that, Tisha. And I love that it's not just an acknowledgement, but an acknowledgement. And then how I hear it is actually like, this is our filter then. If we're going to make a recommendation or saying, okay, there's this a Pueblo development on 26th and 10th. Do we want to make a recommendation that there's prioritization of people who've experienced displacement? Of I was thinking about this week about how at the Arizona Housing Coalition conference last year, there was a speaker talking about the zero homelessness for veterans. And I was like, what about a policy for zero houselessness for people who are indigenous to this land? And having that in our policy of prioritization of who is the top priority for public housing, for, I don't know if we can do that for public housing and all the rules, but at least for city-owned property. Yeah, so I love that kind of filter for how we're evaluating and being really specific about it.
Would somebody be willing to start writing something down for us?
Yeah, as you're speaking, Tisha, I try to capture as much of that in that shared doc. But if you
go
together and flesh that out a little.
Thanks for doing that, Ray. I didn't see that.
Yeah. I see that in real time. That's great. I think also, I think because this has to be done while we're actually in session, what I can do is I can craft some language, and maybe we all can think about this. Whoever wants to craft language, and then in real time next meeting, I'll go ahead and type it in. And then we can vet that. But I think we've got a good move forward piece for
that
today.
That sounds great. So I'm taking that as a potential segue away from this, but I want to make sure, is there anything else that we want to get down in the document that we all have open that I think Ray is writing in. Is there anything else that we want to capture now before we move on? I just want to give us a little more space if we need it, but with the thought of moving on.
I just wanted to add that I'm in agreement with the conversation. I think they're productive discussion and changes or suggestions that we can make. I'm recalling too, for that third point in the mission, it also seemed a little there. I remember a little bit of back and forth of, you know, are these groups ones? Do we need this point? Is there a reason for focusing on particularly landlords and developers? And, you know, I think that had been in relation to how does the community access the commission and what we're doing as well. So those last two points seemed a little like they were moving a little bit.
Do you have a preference there, Kenny, for it looks like for three, we have an alternative wording of are you still thinking of deleting that entirely or just replacing that with the alternative wording or other thoughts on it?
I mean, I think that alternative wording like works for me. Just wanted to add that back in if as we're looking at that.
Thank you. I agree with that too. I don't actually want to have a point in there that part of the work of the commission is explicitly to collaborate with landlords and developers. Not that we don't do that, but I like the broader identify and reduce barriers to creating and maintaining equitable, accessible, and quality housing, and to look to at things like resident-owned communities, things like that are looking outside the landlord-tenant cycle, and trying to actually be advocating far more often for that than the landlord and developer stuff, like it's already going to happen. I don't know that we need to be driving that as much versus like the alternatives of community ownership and city ownership that get a lot less funding and attention.
And then I think to that point as well, right? You know, it's like what number four says captures the ability for us to do that, right? It's like community collaboration around all of these issues. So if we feel the need to, you know, reach out and connect with landlords and or developers for some reason, that's obviously, you know, captured under that, as is, you know, reaching out and collaborating with community members. So I think it's a much more broad way to state that. And I think it does do that. So I agree with what y'all are saying, and that number four seems to kind of capture that collaboration, interaction, education piece pretty well.
Reading number three again and just remembering that we're a commission and we're not actually reducing barriers, I don't think, as an organization, I'm wondering about combining three and four. It seems like we're more doing that kind of forum work, identifying and making recommendations.
How would the two get combined?
What was that? How do I see it combining?
Yeah.
I would maybe make the alternative wording of number three as a second sentence. And rather than, or adding and make recommendations about reducing barriers, I would change it to like the verb being reduce barriers to make recommendations.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We did talk about this a little bit in person too. I think that opening paragraph is sort of our disclaimer of these are, and then these are the focus areas as a way of like cleaning up some of the language. So it gets framed with, you know, the advisory nature of what we're doing. So I wonder if that helps with some of the language.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, thank you, Kenny. That does that zoom out, right? We are ensuring that that is the focus.
But still, does it? I mean, it still makes sense to me. I think, Ray, what you were saying, which is, I think what you're saying is number four, what is currently number four is the first sentence. And then the second sentence is what the alternative wording basically for number three, that would be the second sentence, right? We would combine them into one. Does that make sense? Is that what you said? And does that make sense?
That was what I was saying. Now I could go either way now that I've like
Yeah.
gone back and read that first intro.
Guess my question then would be, do we get anything else or additional by combining three and four at this point? Or if we use the alternative wording for three and just keep four basically, does that work okay? R question. I'm not sure. Because if so, we could basically kind of be like, okay, we got that more or less.
I think though, like if I might be mistaking what Kenny said, but number three is just a more exhaustive recitation of that beginning paragraph of what we're doing. So if we just edited that second part of that first paragraph, the Committee on Global Review Investigate recommends, based on research data inclusive input to ensure that all Tucson's have equitable, accessible, and quality affordable housing, and then three can just go away. It also said in quality and affordable housing. So equitable, accessible. Affordable and quality, or quality and affordable, I don't know.
I like that.
I see the value in having them separate, you know, the reducing, identifying, reducing barriers. So between combining three and four, I think it's valuable to have them separate. And then the changes in the framing, I think that's still, I can go either way. I think that works to kind of make that explicit up front, and still believe in the point about identifying, reducing barriers somehow.
Cool. So we did a little editing in that kind of first paragraph. And then are we basically more or less saying keep three and keep four, kind of more or less as they are? Okay. Is there anything else that we want to do as far as wordsmithing, or are we good with this, with the mission statement to move on? I'm assuming move on. Okay, great. Thanks for that, everybody. Like I said, I wasn't exactly sure what we were going to do there, but that's really good work. Okay, I am going to, with no objection, move on to agenda item number six. which is our work plan for June, July, and August. And I believe that we had our various kind of areas that we were going to research and get back together and kind of start sharing out what some of the things that we came across were. I don't in front of me have everybody's assignments, so I will just assume we've done what we've done, and we can just kind of open up the floor. The other thing that I wanted to mention, as we're kind of starting to have this conversation, is I was talking to Tisha, and she had a great idea to potentially in June, if we can, for the next subcommittee meeting, to actually get together in person for a few hours, and have the facilitators come and facilitate our meeting, and actually try and get some recommendations together based on the various research we're doing. And I really like the idea, because I'm finding it hard in terms of like just meeting virtually, and with such a wealth of so much information out there. I just think it could, for me, it would be really helpful to have somebody kind of help guide us. And help us figure out what it is that we actually want to come up with and present to the full commission. So anyway, I just want to put that out there. I did also ask Neto about this, but now that I'm thinking about it, he did not get back to me with a definitive answer about how we could do that. So maybe before we jump into kind of sharing out a little bit, what do y'all think about that plan? Obviously, it doesn't necessarily need to be June, but would that be useful to folks? Could folks make that happen? And if not, again, just kind of thinking about, how we get from kind of where we start today, to actually some solid recommendations for the commission, and how we get there. What are y'all's thoughts about that? I see a floating thumb. That's good.
I'd be happy to meet in person. However, in June, I will be at a conference for our scheduled subcommittee meeting. But that's okay. You all can go ahead without me.
Yeah, I was going to suggest July as well. I know, yeah, it's just scheduling wise, June might be tough.
Okay.
Yeah, and if it were in person, I can't actually do June or July. But I could hop on Zoom if other people were in person, and otherwise could do in person August and beyond.
What I mean, based on that, I kind of think maybe August. I mean, it gives us more time to research, and I mean, it might be worth also just out of a show of hands, or just, who will be available for our meeting in June? Do you all know? I'm just wondering, like, are we even going to have quorum? Because we could take June off. We kind of know what we're trying to do in terms of, putting together some recommendations for the full commission, and we could just kind of continue to do that on our own. Let's see, our next meeting would be when? June, what?
27th, look right.
Today's May 23rd, so it would be what? May, so we must be what, the fourth Thursday?
Yes, it would be June 27th.
June 27th. Oh yeah, I see it's on the calendar. Who will not be available for that meeting? Lori, are you not, you said, yeah, go ahead. You're not gonna be here, right? Yeah. Everybody else would be available to meet at least in via Zoom. Okay. What about July? Our meeting theoretically would be July 25th. Is everybody who's not available on July 25th that you know of at this point? Ray, you said you're not available.
I'm not available in person. I'm not sure about availability on Zoom that day.
Okay. And then August, our August meeting would be, Thursday, the 22nd of August. Is everybody available then to meet? Because I mean, the other thing is we can change our meeting time and date if we want to, but I'm kind of inclined to say, why don't we try and do August 22nd, maybe from like 1 to 4 in person, if that would work for folks. And this is also, I think for me at least, assuming that we would be able to get the meeting facilitated. Does that seem too far out to folks, or does that seem like a good plan? What are y'all's thoughts about August meeting from like 1 to 4 facilitated? And
It feels a little bit far out for me, and then I know it for just personally, it gets into the fall semester, like that's the week after classes start. So, just for myself, I know I can, the period of focus will probably be before that. And so if we're going to workshop things, I would lean more towards July. But again, what works for us all.
Just bring your students, Kenny. Use some brain power, Oh, okay. Well, I think this gives me at least a good idea to kind of work with, and I'll kind of think about it a little bit more, and maybe send out an email with some more ideas. But yeah, I mean, I like August to a certain extent, but it does kind of also feel a little bit far away. But anyway. All right. Well, I think the idea of getting together at least with a facilitated meeting for a few hours seems to resonate with folks. So we'll just keep that in mind, and I'll work on coordinating that a little bit more. So with that, I wanted to kind of open it up to folks to see if they had anything to share based on kind of the areas of research that we agreed to do, or anything outside of that, obviously, that's relevant. Anybody want to get us started? I will go ahead and get us started. Oh, Ray, were you coming off mute?
No, go ahead. I'll go after you.
Okay. I guess I'm gonna share my screen just to see. Oh, host is disabled. Can I share my screen?
Yeah, I can get you access, Jay.
Okay. There we go. What do I want to share? It's not really that exciting, but I listed, I might have emailed this out to y'all in the past, but I put together some links to various projects and reports and whatnot that are assessing and measuring equity. I know that I've been beating the drum about this as we have as a subcommittee, and it's not too hard to find a bunch of examples, and I got some stuff pulled up as well, some other stuff just to show you. There are a lot of reports like this, about the role that segregation has played in this, and then this is basically about kind of St. Louis has measured equity, and then they also have recommendations about how to dismantle segregation and how that impacts improving equity and whatnot. So that's just St. Louis. There are other examples. I really like the work that King County does and that Seattle does. I just think that to me, they seem to be like the most sophisticated and I'd say robust measuring of equity that I know of. But again, Dallas has done it, New York City has done it. And I think if there's anything that I take away from this, it's, again, kind of what I feel like we've recommended before, but just hasn't gotten traction, which is, there are many ways to measure equity. There are a lot of good examples. I know that, the folks over in the equity office here in Tucson are doing some of that work as well. So, I think a pretty clear recommendation is that, we recommend that the city of Tucson, I don't know how specific we get, but that, the city starts to measure equity and use examples that, we can provide them or whatever. And I think, obviously a key piece of the puzzle, hopefully, that maybe we can deal with next meeting is having the Office of Equity, actually come to our meeting and give us an update about where they are. But I mean, this just seems to me to be, a clear recommendation for the full commission. And I just really am hopeful that this time around it will get more traction. So, I guess, when I was thinking about how I would bring this to the subcommittee today, it's complex and complicated. And so, I don't think it warrants getting into depth about the various ways that communities have done it. It's just more to know that it has been done. And there's nothing, I think, keeping the city of Tucson from doing this, and that we should really be pushing this forward. So, I'll stop there and ask, see if anybody's got any thoughts or questions, or also who has anything else that they would like to share to discuss today.
Hey Jay, it looks like Mike put in the chat. Not sure if you saw it. He was just requesting you to send those documents
What would
to
be
him.
the best way to do that? Does it need to go through y'all, or can I just email it out, or what?
I was thinking, can you send it to just CEHD and then to our, subcommittee, and then it gets routed to us? Because that way it'll be, I don't want to violate any public info rules.
Yeah. Who should I email that to, Rachel?
Yeah, feel free to email it to me or the CEHD at Tucson AC. I can send it through both.
Okay.
Thank you.
I dropped a couple articles in there too. What I was trying to focus on was of ways that cities have been looking to identify and address harm. Thank you, Jay, for sending this first one to me, this policy link, one that had a really good framing around some of the ways that different cities across the country are doing this, including like Portland had an area where they were focusing on historic residents who've been displaced getting priority for new housing development that was happening in that neighborhood. And then there's a Next City article with some examples of how different cities are experimenting with exactly what we were talking about in point number three of the mission. And I could, if when I get that email, Jay, I can put those in that document as well. And if other people have things they want to add to it, each of these links has then all of the sublinks for the projects in those different areas. I was especially interested in some of the ones that are using that as a prioritization for who gets access to some of the housing that's being built.
Ray, when you were looking through some of the stuff that you were looking through, I don't know if you got this exactly, but were there any takeaways that you had about the cities that were addressing harm, past harm, and repairing harm, like what they did to get from like where we are as a city to that place? Was there like a lot of public engagement and public input? Was it a committee that do you have any sense of like, how they got from, here to there?
That is a great question. In these two, I haven't gotten a sense of that. The second article was pretty brief. There was a Next City, I think it was at a podcast on the topic, and went into a little bit more depth about the Evansville example of reparations. The thing that stood out to me in what I remember of it, I didn't get a ton about the process of, but of how in some ways it was so symbolic too, of that it's such a small amount of funding versus some of the harm. Like they're really not talking about restitution, but of that direct acknowledgement and of, yeah, of it largely being an acknowledgement, even though the word reparations is sometimes being used, and that there were a lot of obstacles in terms of having to prove the direct connection to the harm. I think that's a big question too, is like, is it a class of people who then are having programs that are benefiting because there's a class that has been impacted, or how specific the connection is being made? But in terms of the process, I can have an eye for that more as I keep reading.
That's a really interesting point, because, you know, I do think, you know, one of the things that was raised in the full commission meeting was like, kind of like, if we do this, it's going to open the floodgates and all of these crazy things are going to have to happen. And it's more like, well, I mean, yes, maybe in a perfect world, but like, I can't think what I'm taking away from what you're saying is that there is a many, many layers of complexity to this, but just the symbolic nature of even doing it at all is important, and that there are levels to it, right? It's like, you know, there's a symbolic thing with not a whole lot of money versus like, you know, fully repairing harm that, you know, we all agree is probably pretty, would be pretty challenging to do under, you know, even the best circumstances. So, because I guess I'm always thinking about like, you know, again, where I get frustrated is like, how do we get from here to there? And I feel like that's been a real challenge. So it's interesting. Thanks, Ray. Appreciate that. Anybody else have anything that they would like to share in terms of things that they came across between last meeting and this meeting in terms of, you know, equitable strategies and things to discuss?
Well,
go ahead, Kenny.
Oh, I thought I might just, you know, if folks are remembering the same thing that I am, I think I was going to dive further into like some of the narratives around housing. I haven't gone through the material that I hope to or anything like that just yet. But just wanted to raise it again, since, you know, we were talking about the language from the mission statement, you know, about repair, reparations. And I think what I'm interested in getting further into is, you know, how the commission can help shape some of those, the narratives that we have around housing. You know, it's very much tied to upward mobility, how a community sees itself in relation to, you know, other cities or other states nearby. And I just think it's an interesting area to kind of unpack and get further into. Just jogging my own memory and for us here that to think about those narratives. And I think that shows up in what you had just linked us to as well, Ray.
Yeah, that narrative is so interesting. I just read an article this morning. I think it was in the Arizona Republic about how costly it is now to build housing, particularly in the Phoenix area. And kind of that, like, you know, we're bumping up against the limits of, you know, being able to build single family homes that, you know, average folks can afford. And that really is bumping up against this narrative of like, Arizona as this place where, everybody can own a single family home that's affordable, low cost of living, and, how that narrative is no longer matching up with reality, or, very soon is not going to match up with reality. So, yeah, that narrative piece is really interesting about, how we think about and talk about housing. So certainly appreciate that. Anything else to share, y'all? I guess the other thing I would pose is obviously, jump in, but, thinking again about where we go as a subcommittee and having a facilitated conversation to really try and get, pen to paper in terms of getting some recommendations to the full commission. Please share anything else that you would like to share today, but also what are y'all's thoughts about, for our next couple of meetings leading up to hopefully a facilitated meeting? What's the best use of our time? Again, thinking about how to get from where we are today with some ideas about some, general potential recommendations. How do we get from here where we are today to, having a facilitated conversation and actually capturing some recommendations? What can we do together? What can we do between the meetings to get from here to there? Obviously we talked about doing some research and bringing stuff together. I'm just, what are some other ways that we could get from here to there that would help us, during our meeting time?
Maybe speaker consideration. I know that, for example, in the Housing First subcommittee, we're going to, in our next meeting, we're going to have someone from another city present to us. And I can't remember which city it is offhand. But, once we do this deep dive and start talking to folks and having conversations and inviting them to discuss further to see if it's, something that we might want to make a recommendation to the full commission.
That's a great idea. Does anybody have anybody that they can think of off the top of their head that they would like to come to our subcommittee to present on? Anybody locally that would be easy to corral, commandeer?
I think it's something we can think about too and maybe present at the next meeting.
For sure.
I would love to have the Commission on Equity? When we were talking with Jay about coming today.
The Office of Equity? Yeah.
And the Office of Equity, and if they had recommendations too, I would love to talk to the people in Portland or anywhere else that has done preferential housing for people who've been displaced from a neighborhood. The only people I've talked with about that are from the Sustainable Economies Law Center in Oakland. And I have to go back and look of if they were talking about it in theory or if they were actually implementing it.
I mean, I know that we have had this presentation a few times and it might be a little redundant at this point, but I also wonder if it wouldn't be a good idea to ask Bonnie Bazzata and or Keith Bentley to come and talk to us again about the Prosperity Initiative and to think more deeply about, the housing equity piece of that. I know we could probably get them to come. Would y'all find that useful, or have we kind of worn that out in terms of, hearing their presentations?
I don't know of any folks to suggest, but I would prefer maybe to hear from folks outside of Pima County, just just because we've heard a few times from folks within Pima County, and there may be some communities that are farther along than us.
Yeah, that makes sense. All right, so we've got a few ideas, and then again, Tisha, as you mentioned, we can, you know, think and bring some ideas to our next meeting as well, for folks that we'd like to have come talk to us. I would love to, you know, if it would be possible to get somebody from, you know, Seattle or King County to talk about, you know, their kind of process for, you know, indicators to measure equity and kind of what that looks like. All right. So I'm just looking back at our agenda here and our work plan. So share new learnings and resources, highlights, connections to our list of themes, identify pressing housing equity issues. What are the major inequities in housing in Tucson and Arizona? I still think that's actually, you know, something that could be more clear also. That's, you know, part of measuring equity is, you know, do we have the information that shows us what the major housing inequities are in Tucson? Is that, you know, are those things like buried in the HASP plan or some of the other, you know, plans and reports and whatnot? Also identify solutions, what's working in Tucson and Arizona, examples of equitable housing policies and strategies, prosperity initiative, and identify top priorities. And again, I think, you know, the idea of the facilitated conversation will be to, you know, help us identify the top priorities and create recommendations from that, and then obviously develop our recommendations. Is there anything else, any other thoughts, anything else that folks would like to share under our agenda item number 6, our work plan? All right, hearing none, why don't we move on to number 7, action items. I think that our action items are, let's see, action items would be continue research and identify guests to address the committee. What other action items did we have today? Does anybody remember things that came up?
I think if we wanted a workshop, that second point for the mission statement, proposing some language to build from.
Say again, Kenny.
Oh, that second point on the mission statement about like the reparation, repairing harm. If folks wanted a proposed language to build from.
Right. Proposed language for mission statement. So once our meeting is over, and if we want to propose more language or do something with the mission statement, would we just individually hop in there and do it, or what do we need to do?
I think if we do something on our own, and then we can put the language back up during the next meeting and just type it in.
Okay. So bring any new language or stuff to the next full commission meeting or subcommittee? I guess both, right? Because I'm sure we'll be dealing with this at the next full commission meeting. I would imagine.
I think it would be at the next commission, full commission.
And Jay, if you can keep us in the loop with the Office of Equity too, I'd love to have a conversation with them before we do a in-person longer meeting.
For sure.
That could be a really good thing to be doing together.
Yep. in person. Great. Any other action items for us? All right, hearing none at this point, I will move on to number eight, action items for CEHD. I don't know why that's particularly different, but are there any action items specifically for CEHD that we need to elevate? Kind of feel like we got it. I don't know that there's anything else unless somebody's got something. All right. Hearing none, I will move on to number nine, call to the audience. This is a time when any member of the public may address the Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Due to time constraints, the total time allocated for this is 15 minutes. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes each. Due to open meeting law, commission members cannot discuss topics that are not on the agenda. Items brought up by the public may be considered as an agenda item for a future meeting. Is there anybody in the public that I am not seeing? Okay. Nobody in the audience. Number 10 is next steps, equitable housing strategies, June 27th, 1 p.m. That's right, 1 p.m. And then the full commission is June 6th at 4 p.m. And I will create a draft meeting agenda for our next meeting and review our main points from the meeting to report to the full commission. I guess also just going back to action items, I was going to work on coordinating our in-person meeting. I think I've got that information, so I'll just keep that on the... is there anything else, y'all, that we need to address, talk about, surface before we adjourn? Going once, going twice. All right, y'all. Oh, go ahead, Ray. So close.
Sorry, with the document, I just saw Rachel's email. So with that document, now we have it as a Word doc, right? But it's not a shared doc for us to edit. Is that correct?
I didn't send it that way, but I guess I could.
Okay.
Would that be preferable?
I would love if we're allowed to work off the same doc and I'll be able to add to it rather than everyone working off separate Word docs.
I will fix that and I will send that to Rachel for her to get out to everybody.
Thank you.
Cool. Okay, if there is nothing else, we are adjourned, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye. Thanks.